on this episode of Still Loading.
Can't you do anything right? The head on the head must have knocked a hoop loose.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is the kickoff of Season 3 of Captain N. We are coming down to the wire. Including this episode, we only have 4 episodes left of our Captain N series. And, of course, my co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill, joining me. Dexter, how are you doing today?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing awesome. It's Captain N. You can't do better than that.
I love our recording sessions for these, man. Not only because, like, it's you know, I find it amusing. We're probably the only podcast dumb enough to cover the entirety of the Captain N cartoon 1 month at a time. But also, like, on a personal note, we get to hang out. You know, we meet up once, maybe once a month, maybe every other month, and we just hang out and chat, and it's a good time. And it's always on like a nice, on a Sunday afternoon, right? Like it's a nice way to kind of cap out a weekend for me. So I'm bummed the Captain N is ending, but dear listeners, do not worry. Dexter is not going anywhere. I won't let him go anywhere. He will be coming back we keep picking a cartoon and then I forget we're going to be doing another cartoon series. That's the long and the short of it. I don't know if we're going to pick it up right away or we might take a month or two break and then dive into another cartoon series, but we'll figure it out. So anywho, we are talking about Season 3, Episodes 1 and 2 on this month's episode. And the reason why we're covering 2 is because Season 3 changes things up a little bit. So Dexter, why don't I throw it over to you? Explain to the audience, explain to the good people here, what is different in terms of, not only in terms of how the episodes are structured, but also some of the visuals that we saw in this one.
Yeah, so right off the bat, this is a different animation studio than the previous 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And this is also the era where the high hopes, the big plans that they had for these video game themed Saturday morning cartoons, they were not as big as they were hoping, because they had the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. They were going to make like a Power Hour back to back with Captain N, and also there was you can Google out there, they were pitching a Metroid TV show where Samus was a dude.
What?
It was before. I'm guessing whoever was writing it didn't beat the game or something. But there's art out there of a guy, like an excuse me princess looking guy, and also with the Zelda cartoon, like they were going to be expanding this into like a whole Saturday morning cartoon like event where it was all these video game themed cartoons. But they actually were letting off the gas. They were pulling back a little bit and started combining these shows, shortening them up a little bit. So they combined Super Mario World with Captain N, and so they were splitting a half an hour show. So you would get like an 11-minute Super Mario World segment and an 11-minute Captain N segment. So they're now sharing real estate, so they're having to do half the work, but I tell you, the zaniness is still there. So it's double the zaniness now.
I really feel like they packed a 20-minute episode's worth of zaniness into half that, because there is so many moments in this show that my brain is boggled, Dexter. I don't understand how some of the decision making. I don't understand some of the plots, which, you know, that's a bit more par for the course with Captain N. But I kid you not, listeners, when the first one that I watched, so we're covering episode 1 is called The Misadventures of Robin Hood.
Robin Hood Woods.
Misadventures in Robin Hood Woods, excuse me. And the second episode is called Pursuit of the Magic Hoop. And I think at the end we should say which of the two was our favorite. You know, we'll each take a turn and say which of the two was our favorite. But what is interesting, though, is the at least according to Wikipedia, the production code for Misadventures in Robin Hood Woods is 402. And then Pursuit of the Magic Hoop is 401. So it almost seems like they made Pursuit of the Magic Hoop first, but then released Misadventures second. But then released Misadventures first, even though it was the second one made. Right, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Is that what the production release code means?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was probably, when it was made versus when it was released, I think is the difference there.
Where's Gabe when you need him? But shout out to our buddy Gabe Swore, he's been on twice now for our Captain N series. I actually have to have him on to do Samurai Pizza Cats at some point. Let's dive into this one, Dex. So the first episode we are going to be talking about is the Misadventures in Robin Hood Woods. And the episode begins with a very bizarre the first thing, there's no more theme song anymore. There's no more intro. There's no more theme song. And Dexter, you were texting me. You were very sad about this.
I was so bummed because it's just the title screen of Captain N, the Game Master. And then there's like a little bit of fanfare with trumpets and stuff. But even the song sounds a little sad. I don't know enough about music theory and stuff to go on about that, but I feel like there's got to be like a minor key or something that makes me feel sad, or maybe it's just that there's no intro. But the credits show I feel like the end credits still show like the live action segment for some reason.
Yes, they do. It's very strange.
Yeah, but yeah, there's just this little kind of like wah wah, like get ready for disappointment before the cartoon starts.
Now, I don't know if you watched the same version on YouTube as I did, but it very much felt like this, the version that's available on YouTube is like ripped from a VHS tape.
Yeah, it's not very good quality.
No, the second episode, Pursuit of the Magic Hoop, was in much better video quality, but this first one was, very, very rough.
Yeah.
Which definitely was kind of annoying.
Yeah, lots of scan lines and even the audio was muffled. Especially compared to Pursuit of the Magic Hoop.
And it's funny, too. So the person who put this playlist together, Philip Lucas on YouTube, I don't even know what their YouTube channel is, but they have everything. Like the first two seasons are from Wild Brain, which makes sense because that was all like they're the ones who currently own the rights. And actually, you can watch all of seasons 1 and 2 completely for free on YouTube from Wild Brain Superheroes, their YouTube channel. But the third season is the one that's kind of like all over the place. Side note, I did find out apparently the episode we skipped, the When Mother Brain Rules, which is a clip show, apparently there's like unique narration and stuff on it. Like apparently it's like someone narrating over everything that happens, but no one, like you can't buy this episode on any of the DVD sets. It's very strange.
Interesting.
So anyway, he included that included that on this playlist. Weirdly enough, so I just clicked on their YouTube channel just to, what do they have? This dude just creates playlists of like different TV shows and compiles them all together. So I just saw they had the full run of Recess, like the cartoon Recess. They just scour all of the different, like tons of different YouTube channels and just compile all the episodes together into like a single place. I don't know. That's what
What you're saying is Philip Lucas is doing the Lord's work.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Doing all this for us. Thank you, Philip Lucas.
Please come on the show. No. So the episode begins, though, with the narrator saying Kevin and Kid Icarus have just finished some type of mission in Dragon's Den, which I think is like their version of the Dragon Quest world.
Yeah.
They're stopping off to get gas. in their, what did they call it? A warp wagon.
I want this toy. I'm sure that's what this was for, was like, let's sell the toy, the warp wagon, but this is the only time we see the warp wagon. Like, they don't fly in it. They don't leave the world in it. Like, this is the only time we see the warp wagon. Then they just abandon it.
Yeah, you never see it again. And so they're filling up on gas, and Kid Icarus sees a weapon shop. He's like, I can get a new bowstring. Probably says Bowstringicus or some stupid shit like that. Though he does say, what's going on a kiss in here? Or what's going on in here a kiss? Or something like that. Yeah. And inside the weapon store, the owner of the shop is getting pretty much held up by the Sheriff of Nottingham and Prince John. My first observation, though, this is supposed to be a medieval world. Why the fuck is there gas pumps? Not a gas station. Gas pumps in the middle of the forest in a medieval world.
Yeah, it's like old-fashioned, like older-fashioned than what would have been contemporary gas pumps.
They don't even look old-fashioned, though. They look futuristic compared to everything.
They look like slot machines.
Yeah. It's so confusing. It's just like, they don't even have fuel. I don't understand. But in this world, obviously, as for anyone who knows, Robin Hood and whatnot, Sheriff of Nottingham and Prince John ruthlessly tax people into poverty in order to enrich his own pockets. Sounds a little bit like our corporate overlords.
They also bully people like high school bullies. Give me your lunch money.
And I love how Prince John, the guy says, I swear I've given you all my money. And Prince John just sniffs his stomach. He's like, I don't know. I smell gold. And rips it. The dude, tears off the dude's shirt pretty much, or opens it up, and then a bunch of gold coins spew out. And when Kevin and Kid Icarus come in to kind of stop it, there's a lot of visual gags I really enjoy in this, where Prince John's like, oh, it's time to go. And he looks at his watch and it's just an hourglass on his wrist. Yeah.
So at least they're trying with technology there, at least compared to the gas pumps.
So let me get this straight. They have gas pumps in this world, but no watches. It's all hourglasses.
That's right. It would be better if it was like a tiny sundial, but I guess an hourglass works.
I guess so. I love the design, by the way, of the sheriff. I find his design very amusing. Just like this weird pointy beard and evil mustache. Like the twirl on the mustache is so crazy.
I was going to say to our listeners, if you have not checked out what season 3 looks like yet, the character designs are a little jarring, especially Kid Icarus. He looks
periodically
like a baby.
He just has demon eyes.
Yes, he looks like a baby with demon eyes. They were definitely going for the cherub look, way more so than the previous seasons. Mm-hmm. They just straight up make him look like a baby, like giant head, tiny body. So he's not so much a chibi now. He's just straight up like a baby. But I have to say, Duke looks exactly the same. The dog, the character design, that was pretty consistent. And, I actually don't hate the redesign of Kevin and Lana so far.
I agree. Though we don't see Lana in this episode.
That's true. We don't see her until the next one, but and maybe it's because of the era I grew up in with Dexter's Lab and Powerpuff Girls and that was my cartoons growing up. That I remember the most. And those were very UPA style, very simplified, lots of shape language. And that's what this is. I would even compare it a little bit. This is giving it way too much credit, but I would even compare it a little bit to Bruce Timm's style for the Batman animated series, where it's not about the individual body parts having all these different lines as much as it is a really strong silhouette, a really strong shape for the characters, the big upper torso and shoulders, the broad shoulders, and then really tapering down at the waist and the legs and stuff. It reminds me of that, but in motion, not not so much, does not look as good. Like, there were times where the mouths were a lot more flappy and not going for, I'm trying to remember the word, I think it's phonemes, but like usually when animation looks good is when, because our mouths make different shapes depending on the sound that they're making, of course, you know, like ooh and ah. And when you can match that with what the thing someone's saying, it makes it look much more realistic. Whereas a lot of the time this feels a lot more like puppet flap or anime mouth flap kind of thing going on.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more comical.
Yeah.
Or it makes it maybe uncanny valley is not the correct term for this, because like it's so cartoonish, you don't get the uncanny valley vibe from this. But I feel like the mouth flap thing kind of is part of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So they do rescue this shopkeeper, and Robin Hood shows up, and Kevin's like, I don't know anything about this game, which, a side note, I didn't know that there was a Robin Hood game for the NES based off of the Kevin Costner film.
Yes. And this, like, this representation, it's been a while since I've seen the Kevin Costner Prince of Thieves, but it definitely like does not remind, like Prince John does not look like, isn't it Alan Rickman, I think, plays Prince John?
I don't know. None of the characters in both this episode and the next look like they're the person they're supposed to be based off of.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to look it up now because now I'm curious.
But so Kevin and Kid Icarus, sorry, I did that wrong. I should say Kevin. There we go. Fixed it. They do rescue the shopkeep. They speak with Robin Hood. Robin Hood and Kid Icarus kind of have a little back and forth about like who's a better archer. That's like an ongoing theme throughout this first one, of like Kid Icarus being like annoyed that people don't take him seriously as like a fighter, an archer, which, I mean, I get it why they wouldn't, but I don't know why Kevin doesn't like stand up for him at all. Like, you know, like you'd think that Kevin would at least help a guy out, but he doesn't. And one of the weirdest scenes after that, after they rescue the, you know, the dude's money, and Prince John and Sheriff of Nottingham escape into a portal, and
Kid Icarus shoots the scissor arrows.
Yeah, the scissor arrow to cut off the coin purse from Little John.
Yes, and I didn't notice till the second time I watched this, after which I thought it was going to, like, his pants were going to fall in some like comical way. But all it does is, even though it spins around him like 18 times, it only just snips the bag. And then his horse bends down and bites and like picks him up onto his saddle.
Yeah.
And then runs in circles as well before jumping through the warp zone. It's like the portal there. And I'm like, why did the horse run in circles? Like, that was weird.
There are so many moments in both of these episodes where I don't understand the decision-making process of like, let's just have the horse do this because that would be funny. Or like there's a moment in the next one specifically with Kevin that I don't get in the slightest. I saw that too. He picks up Prince John by like biting the back of his shirt, puts him on a horse, puts him on himself, and then spins around like five times and then runs off into the portal.
Yeah.
They fight off Sheriff Nottingham's dudes. And it goes to Robin Hood's encampment, where he's, you know, distributing the money that he's taken out to the poor, just like the character does. And, you know, the stories and everything. I did find it amusing that the moment he puts gold into their hands, their clothes magically transform. Like, you just see you hear a brrr sound, and their clothes change from like poor to bright and vivid.
Yeah. It's like a weird Mario power up.
It's like, congratulations, you got rich.
Yeah.
Here's your clothes have automatically been upgraded.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Yeah, the same thing with when the bad guys appear, they appear as pixels first and then they show up. And even the Sheriff of Nottingham's sword appears pixelated and then appears in his hand when they fight. But then, like, they get beat up like normal humans, like instead of like disappearing like all the other bad guys in these games. So that was a little confusing for me too.
I mean, there's so many moments in both of these episodes where it boggles the mind.
And did you see Kevin's new power pad, by the way?
Yeah, it looked really weird.
They put the A and B buttons vertically.
Wait, really?
Yeah, 3 minutes and 20 seconds when he uses his power pad to help him fight the soldiers. The A and B button are vertical instead of
horizontal. Oh my god, I was like, because it happened so quickly, I was like, why does this power pad look so strange? And it should have been very obvious. Like, how the fuck did they get that wrong?
That's what I wrote in my notes. I was like, how do you mess that up?
What's even weirder is the way he disposes of those guys after using the power pad is he jumps up and does a backflip and then drop kicks a tree branch onto them and then lands on his feet at the same time.
Yeah.
He's yeah. like Jackie Chan now or something. I don't know. So, yeah. At Robin Hood's camp, Friar Tuck and Little John are making fun of Kid Icarus. Well, you know, and Kid Icarus is like, I'm going to show you that I can, that I am, you know, good at this. I'm going to win the archery tournament happening. I think he even says later today. Like, it's all happening that day, I guess, or maybe tomorrow. And Robin Hood goes, I think I'll participate in this, and then Kevin, you can finally meet Maid Marian, which I don't even know if he mentioned. I think he might have mentioned about her before, but it felt like in such like it felt like it was in passing. Like, I really don't even remember if he says anything to Kevin about Maid Marian. So. Do you know if he does?
I don't think so, because I remember Maid Marian just showing up, and I think when she shows up, I think it's supposed to be a secret who she is. Or at least, like, that's how it felt to me, even though it's weird. This episode both feels like it relies on you knowing the Robin Hood mythos and not. Like, it also kind of introduces stuff. Because, like, they don't really introduce Little John or Friar Tuck. They just kind of mention their names in passing. Like, they just happen to know them. So it feels very much like the writer is like, yeah, everybody knows Robin Hood. Which, I mean, I think most people do. But if they don't, they're going to be lost. Like, did I miss an episode?
It is very strange because I'm watching it with closed caption on right now just so I don't have the sound. But I'm pretty sure they're just having a conversation. And then he goes, it looks like you'll be meeting Lady Maid Marian after all. I'm like, you didn't say anything about her before.
Yeah.
What do you mean after all? Like, you didn't with something cut? So then it cuts to Prince John's castle where Maid Marian is staying because Prince John is her uncle. I believe her dad is like the actual king and Prince John just runs the place while her dad's out type of thing. And she's trying to spy on Sheriff Nottingham and Prince John as they're in their money room, as they call it. There was even a line, I don't remember what it was, when they're first like walking around the corner up like this like circular corridor to get to their money room, there's like a weird noise that one of the voice actors makes, and I can't remember what it might have been, a line or just a sound. I'm going to see if I can find it again, but it was, oh, I remember what it is. I literally just played it. They're talking about going into their money den, and he goes, they're walking in, and the one guy goes, oh, goody, goody.
Yes, he's also built a statue out of coins of himself. Did you notice that?
I did notice that, and when he touches it, it goes away.
Yeah, he drops it all over.
Maid Marian is trying to spy on him by using a key to get into like some secret room, which is honestly kind of cool. Like, as a kid, I would have loved that type of thing.
It is, but the thing that was weird to me, the thing I immediately thought of was, why is she sneaking around with a ninja mask on? Like, she has like a veil over her face.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're Maid Marian. Like, you're not
wrong. Like, you're not even like, you're allowed to be there.
Yeah, one, you're allowed to be there, and two, like, even if someone finds you, they're like, oh, hey, Maid Marian, like, having a mask over your face isn't going to change the fact that you're Maid Marian.
Exactly. It's
like, everyone it's knows who so she weird. Is. Especially her uncle is going to recognize her, even if she's got a veil over her face.
Mm-hmm. And then she does end up getting caught. This is one of the other weird moments. So she almost makes a noise inside of her secret cave while watching, spying on Prince John and Sheriff of Nottingham. I was thinking of Robin Hood Men in Tights. Oh, Rotty.
Which is a spoof of Prince of Thieves.
That's such a good movie, man. It is such a good movie.
I think it's my wife's favorite movie, favorite comedy.
Really?
Yeah, her and her family quote it constantly.
Your wife has good taste in movies. It's one of my. It's not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. Well, she does find out when spying on them is that they are planning on using the archery tournament to lure Robin out of hiding, just like you see in every fucking Robin Hood story, and they want to then spring a trap for him so they can capture him. And she's like, I have to warn Robin. But of course, a spider comes down, you know, as you do. And she doesn't make a noise, but somehow that still is enough for the sheriff. Like, she makes a tiny sort of like, which I don't think anyone would have been able to hear, especially behind stone fucking walls.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think she gets scared by a spider, right? I think is what is supposed to be happening. Yeah.
But then she gets quote unquote captured. And I'm thinking I don't understand the predicament she's in because like you don't really find out to the end of the episode that the sheriff is going to throw her over the wall, like throw her from the tower. But even that, it just feels so contrived and not serious and just not, I don't know. It took all the wind out of its sails, you know, like I feel like there was no bite to any of that.
That's true. But the thing is, he wasn't going to throw her over the tower. I think that might have been something that they changed in the writing later on. All he says is he's like, I'm going to capture her and lock her in here forever. And then she ends up accidentally getting thrown off of the tower. I'm wondering if they had to change it to like make it less of a violent type thing for kids.
I wouldn't be surprised, because did you notice in the beginning with the shopkeeper that when he is being asked about the extra gold, he goes, I swear I don't have any more gold, cross my heart and hope to, and then it just cuts off.
Oh, you know what? I didn't notice that, but yeah, I think that's definitely what is happening. It's being after the fact, it's being censored a little bit.
I'm pretty sure too. So we get to the archery tournament, and we're already going on longer than I was expecting. This episode is 10 minutes and 30 seconds, and we are approximately 30 minutes into the recording decks, and we're only at like the 6.5 minute mark.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it still has the amount of zaniness even at half the time. Sorry, let's continue.
Yeah, no worries. The one of my favorite moments, though, is when you see it. I really wish this was in better video quality, because I feel like this would be a great thumbnail for this. But everyone obviously gets dressed up in a disguise, and all Robin Hood has is just a fake nose and a weird triangle hat. But if you look, Kevin is dressed up like Link from Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
Duke is dressed up like a poodle. Do you notice he's got
the like
fuzzy bands around all of his ankles and his like a poof on his tail and on the top of his head and his ears?
Yes, he does.
And Friar Tuck just has glasses and a weird red circular brimmed hat.
Yeah, and Little John has a Viking hat with horns.
And I don't understand how Kevin's not even obscuring his face.
Right.
How is that a disguise?
No, none of them are disguised very well, because same thing, Kid Icarus just has like fake fairy wings over his real wings.
That's it. That's all there is. And all freaking Robin Hood has is just his nose. That's it. That's all that's going on.
The best disguise is Prince John dressed up as Maid Marian.
Because he sells it too. He's into it. He's into the role play right there. It's really amusing.
It is.
So the archery tournament happens. Kid Icarus is doing really well. Sheriff of Nottingham steals one of his arrows and it's a saw blade arrow, and uses it to cut Kid Icarus's arrow in half. And Kid Icarus goes, "You're a cheater, Kiss." He doesn't say that, but it'd be really funny.
That was one of his arrows too, that saw blade one. He actually took it from his quiver.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I thought I said that. Maybe I didn't.
Sorry.
No, but the sheriff took one of Kid Icarus's arrows and, you know, he calls him a cheater, which, yeah, fair. But at the same time, you know, he just because there's a saw blade on the end of it doesn't mean that he didn't hit Kid Icarus's arrow square in the fucking middle.
It's true. That still takes skill.
It's still super difficult to do. So that was really amusing. And, you know, Robin Hood doesn't even win. He just goes up and says, I'm looking forward to participating in your tournament or whatever. And that's when they decide to spring the trap. And I'm sorry, there's something kind of cool that I forgot that I wanted to talk about. When the sheriff gets announced, you know, so everyone is cheering for Kid Icarus making a target. But when it's announced that it's the sheriff's turn, it happens around 8.5 minutes in. There's some trumpeters, and then when the sheriff, they're tooting their horns, but when the sheriff gets announced, they start, tongues come out of the horns, and you just hear,
bleh. Yeah, that was really funny. I like that visual.
Once again, man, I really wish the video quality would be better. That would be another amazing thumbnail. Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I should do, like, two different... like a character from each episode, since we're doubling these up.
Well, I mean, it's I have no idea. We'll figure it out after we're done recording.
The listeners will already know. They'll see the
thumbnail. They will. Yes, they will.
Time travel.
So Robin lands on the thing in the front of on like a stage thing in front of the fake Maid Marian, Prince John. He gets captured by the guards. They pull off his fake nose. Link leaps into action quite literally with the power pad. And I don't quite understand the logistics of it, but uses the stage thing that Robin Hood was on as like a seesaw and bounces the soldiers off. And for some reason, this is all that has taken to really defeat the sheriff's and Prince John's plans. And the sheriff's like, I have one final thing up my sleeve. And it's a prince, like, you know, a damsel in a tower, and basically just showing Robin Hood that Maid Marian is captured. But then she falls out the window. And this line, I facepalmed so hard at this next scene, Dex, where Kid Icarus grabs the golden arrow, because the winner of this archery tournament wins a golden arrow, and he puts it in his bow. He goes, I don't know what this arrow does, Icarus, but it better be the shot of a lifetime, and shoots an arrow at a falling Maid Marian. The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, he doesn't know what that arrow is going to do. For all he knows, it could just set her on fire, and then she's burning and she's falling down.
Or it could just be a regular arrow, and he just shot her.
I mean, maybe he was trying to do her a favor. At least she won't die on impact, Icarus.
I see that as a t-shirt.
At least she won't die on impact, Icarus.
Yes. But what I was expecting was for him to, like, somehow, like, shoot her dress and, like, pin it to the wall. Kind of thing with it.
Maybe that's what he was trying to do. That's very cartoon logic.
Or shoot it and it would become a bubble that catches her, or it would become a mattress that she lands on, something like that. But he literally shoots her with it. That's why I put my notes. I was like, wait, he shoots her? Like, that was the plan? I better shoot her. Like, hopefully it works.
It's such a... I can't get over it, man. It seems like such an arbitrary thing where let's hope to the heavens that this works. It just seems so reckless. It seems like such a reckless choice to make.
It does seem like a common thing. Like, I'll give them credit. They're consistent because they do that with, I feel like Simon has done that a lot in previous episodes. Here goes nothing.
Like, wait, and what? It's just... So literally nothing. You have no idea if it's going to work. In fact, it most likely would hurt or kill the person that they're trying to do that to. Kid Icarus saves her, and the episode ends. They throw him up in the air and say, hip, hip, hooray. And that's literally how the episode ends.
Yep.
Any other words for the first episode here, Misadventures in Robin Hood Woods? Anything we skipped over that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I think we touched on everything. Very little video game type action here, except for a little bit during the tournament there. They were shooting some of the targets and they were dropping hearts or coins. And then, like I said before, when they fought the guards, they appeared like video game bad guys and stuff like that. But other than that, like, this could have been any cartoon. It didn't have to be Captain N.
It really didn't.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a repurposed script from something else. Like, I can just plug this in to be Kevin and Kid Icarus.
I mean, realistically, you could have done the same thing. Like, you could plug Sonic into this and it would be basically the same thing. Like, nothing specific to Captain N appears in this episode. I will say, though, in our next episode, I feel like this is a quintessential Captain N episode.
Yes.
Pursuit of the Magic Hoop. It is very much this is Captain N in a nutshell, taking a game that has no backstory. So the Robin Hood game, the Robin Hood episode, like I said, was based off of the Robin Hood NES game. Pursuit of the Magic Hoop, the game element it is being based off of, is Jordan versus Bird one-on-one, which is a sports game for the NES. And this episode is one of the wildest episodes I've ever seen in just any of the Captain N's. I think this is the most zany Captain N episode I've seen, just period. What are your thoughts, though?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's, I think, probably one of my favorite writers on the show, Matt Uitz, did the writing on this one. He also did Once Upon a Time Machine, which was one of my favorites in season two. So that might be why it's kind of returned to its glory a little bit here in this episode, is Mr. Uitz was familiar with how the show worked. But yeah, this episode, if you are allergic to puns, you might need to sit this one out.
So many fucking puns. So let's dive into the second episode. Like we said, this episode is called Pursuit of the Magic Hoop, and the end team, which actually it's just Lana, Kevin, and Duke. I don't think even Kid Icarus is in this one.
Yeah, no Mega Man, no Simon.
It's very few characters. It's just Lana, Kevin, and Duke. And they go to Hoopland for Hoop De Doo Da Day, where whoever sinks a bucket in the magic hoop can get their wish granted. So as we remember from the previous seasons, Lana just wants her father back from the mirror world. And so they are hoping that if they can, you know, sink that bucket, you know, get their wish granted from the magic hoop, then they can bring her father, King Charles, home. But what ends up happening, it doesn't happen. Spoiler alert, it doesn't happen. So that's the setup for this episode. Once again, no, intro song, just like it is and just like the first one. So we won't, unless something changes over the next couple, you won't be hearing any of it. This is the last time we'll bring it up. But the episode begins with a guy where, first off, okay, I'm sorry. There's so much to say with this. First off, let's talk about the fashion.
Yes.
The first guy that you see is, he kind of seems like the person, like the mayor of whatever this town is, Hoopland, the mayor of Hoopland, maybe. And he is wearing a purple hat with a basketball on it. He has hoops around his shoulders, but not like attached to his clothing. They're just hoops, almost like bracelets, but for your shoulders. Who would wear bracelets for your shoulders?
It's very Jetsons. Like,
yes.
And then he's got like fashion from the Jetsons.
And then he's got a light purple tie with a basketball on it. Everything is a basketball. I mean, for crying out loud, I'm looking at this one. 24 seconds into the episode, there is a guy on the bottom right whose stomach is the shape of a basketball with hoops going around the side of it, like in an X shape. the guy to the left of him has a normal looking like chest and torso, but then his waist is bulbous like a basketball. the woman to the left of him is wearing basketball elbow pads, but it looks like they're not elbow pads. It looks like her elbows are just made of basketballs. Do you see, especially yeah. like if you look at her right arm, it's left for us, but if it would be her right arm, it looks like the basketball elbow just melds into her flesh. So I'm pretty sure these aren't guards. Her elbows are just basketballs.
Yep. Yep. I think that's what's happened here.
And the guy on the left has...
He's got like a metal mushroom hat. I don't understand that. But there are people later that have like mushroom haircuts too. So I'm not really sure what that's supposed to be like representing.
The very next moment, dude, there's a woman who's got basketball knees. There's just said, so oh,
there's, much. A, there's another girl with basketball shoulders behind Lana in that same shot.
This whole episode, dude, is just it is so wild. I don't understand any of it. I could talk about the fashion of these people conservatively for an hour.
Yeah, they went full on this one the way that they did with the Tetris episode with the Tetris world.
Yeah,
like this one also goes all in on the fashion and the background design, the world like development. They also remind me a lot of the Neutrinos from the old the original Ninja Turtles animated series. For anybody I don't know if you remember them, they drove around like the 50s looking cars that could fly, and they were from Dimension X, but that's for the Ninja Turtle fans out there. They wear the same kind of clothing as the Neutrinos.
Okay. I sadly have not seen many of the original TMNT cartoons.
Oh,
I know.
We might have to do a special episode where, because there's an episode where Leonardo gets obsessed with an arcade game, and like the villain from the arcade game comes out during a thunderstorm or something like that. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Very Tron-like.
Yeah, it's a video game like centered Ninja Turtles episode.
Okay. All right, Lana's practicing her basketball shooting, hits Duke in the schnoz by mistake. And then the mayor dude says, oh, you know, the returning champ is coming. And a portal opens up, which I swear to God, I'm going to double check on this. It's why did they choose the color that it did? It's like the way it opens. So it's like a light pink, but it opens like an Oculus type of thing, you know, like an eyeball. And it honestly, I'm not going to lie, it just kind of looks like a vagina. Like Larry Bird just got birthed into this world by a portal. Now, it's Larry Bird. He fucking Larry Bird comes out of nowhere. It does not look like Larry Bird.
Other than he's blonde.
And he's tall. But they definitely didn't get Larry Bird to voice it. You were saying, Dex, like you know that voice. You're a Boston sports fan. So do you want me to include that?
Is
that
yeah, that's fine. Okay. Come at me, guys. Come at me.
I was like, I don't know if Dexter wanted me to mention that.
Bring it on. No, seriously.
But no, you knew what you've listened to Larry Bird numerous times.
So. Yes, from being a Boston fan and from being a fan of Space Jam, I know what Larry Bird sounds like.
Everybody get up. It's time. Larry Bird is like the returning champion, and no Michael Jordan in this. It's just Larry Bird.
But the fact that he like has this most spectacular entrance, like you were saying, which might have been like I'm
out of a vagina.
I was going to say that the Avengers or Doctor Strange stole this. Like, you know how everything Captain ended first? Like, it reminds me of the portals that Doctor Strange creates. But
you know what? Why not? Let's call it now.
I'm calling it now. I just love that it's this most spectacular entrance, and it's just this regular, like, blonde, tall guy. Hey, guys, it's me, Larry Bird. Like, it's Larry Bird. Hi. Like, normal guy. Like, I don't know why that tickled me so much. Like this, just
it's definitely amusing, man. I'm with you. It's honestly pretty amusing.
Yes. The next part that cracked me up was, it reminded me of the first MCU Spider-Man movie where the random person shouts, "Hey, Spider-Man, do a flip!" and he just does a flip on top of a building. Some random person's like, "Hey, Larry, you know, like, go get him." And Larry Bird goes, "Sorry, guys, duty calls," and just starts dribbling the ball. Like, no, some random guy just told you, like, do something cool. And he's like, "Okay, I gotta go do something cool. Goodbye." It was funny, just the situation of it. "Hey, Larry Bird. Oh, we finally get to meet each other. Hey, Larry, do something cool." "Oh, sorry, guys. I could stay and chat, but some random person wants me to dunk the ball."
What's even funnier, though, is that there's another character in this world. And, dude, the first scene you see of him, I don't even remember this kid's name. Hoopless. Do you remember his name?
Hoopless.
They call him Hoopless.
Yes.
Yeah, the first time you see him, once again, a bunch of other people wearing fucking having basketball knees. And actually, I'm noticing it now that, like, so Hoopless is the only short person in the entirety of Hoop World, and he's got spring shoes so that way he can feel tall and he can get up to the same height as other people. And he wants to make a wish to be tall. He's tired of feeling left out because he's the only one who's short. Now, what's weird, though, is it's such a throwaway fucking line. He's built everything in Hoop World.
Yes.
He's like, "I'm short. No one cares about me, even though I've built everything in this Hoop World." I'm like, what kind of weird dystopia has this show created where there is a man who literally has invented all technology came from one singular source, this one singular kid in your world, and everyone still is like, "Nah, fuck that guy."
He's still a loser, even though we've based everything off of him, like off of everything that he's created. And he's definitely, they're referencing Steve Urkel with his character design, I'm pretty sure. Because I think Family Matters was, I think that premiered the same day, it's same year that Captain N did. So at this point, I feel like Steve Urkel would have been around enough that they'd be referencing him.
Right? I guess so.
Did you notice that?
I did. I didn't know when Family Matters came out, so I wasn't sure, but I did recognize the Steve Urkel design in his look.
The thing is, like, I know Steve Urkel came later, too. The original show was not the same way that Happy Days was originally, like, a Richie Cunningham vehicle. He's the main character. But the Fonz became the main character. He was, like, a side character that became the main character. Same thing happened with Urkel. He came as, like, this the goofy neighbor, and then everybody loved him. So every episode became the adventures of Steve Urkel. So I'm not sure the popularity of Steve Urkel when that emerged versus when this episode came out. I'd have to dig into that.
Maybe we should just do a Family Matters rewatch since Urkel is in it, and that's played by Jaleel White, who was the voice of Sonic. So it's connected to video games, so it counts.
Yes, and then Long John, the voice of Robotnik.
Long John Baldry.
Yeah, Long John Baldry.
Yep. There's
more Sonic connections.
Captain N did it first, though.
That's right. Sounds like they could have gotten Jaleel White to do the voice of Hoopless.
That would be actually really funny if they did. So Hoopless is sad that no one takes him seriously. So he builds a robot that it's going to nail the perfect free throw so he can make a wish.
You heard that right, listeners.
Yes.
That all makes sense.
He invents a robot who has whose head is shaped like an oversized basketball, who even has lines on his head in the same design as a basketball. And he jumps too high when he gets really excited, slams his head. This is the robot, by the way. The robot slams its head into the ceiling, which causes, and I quote, "a hoop to go loose." Oh, and he calls him a ninkum hoop.
Yep. He calls Rebound the robot a ninkum hoop.
A ninkum hoop. Not a ninkum poop, a ninkum hoop.
I'm using it from now on.
I don't understand it at all. So the robot goes haywire, starts like trying to bean him with a basketball. Like he fucking launches it at Hoopless's face. He throws a magnet back at him, which pins rebound the robot by his neck to a machine, and then he can tinker with his head so that way he's no longer aggressive. It cuts after this scene happens. They go back to like this hoop-de-doo-dah day or whatever the fuck. And he, everyone's trying to make the basket. And I thought I was confused. Like, why is it so hard for everyone to make a basket? It's because it's a magic glowing hoop that's just floating around, and it moves constantly. And it makes it so much harder to actually, to make the basket. And of course, Princess Lana is just finally about to get up there when Rebound comes in and makes the basket. Now, Hoopless tried to instruct him, like, hey, you need to get the basket and then wish me taller. But Hoopless or Rebound is confused, even though he's a robot. Like, you should just be able to fucking program him.
Yeah, follow orders.
Just to follow, like, that order, whatever it is. And he starts growing huge. And in the midst of growing huge, sorry.
I've got it on in the background with the closed captioning, and Rebound calls him Poopless in the closed captioning. It's like the bad,
yeah, because the closed captioning is auto generated.
I apologize for interrupting, but I laughed when I saw Poopless.
Oh, poor Poopless. He hasn't pooped in days. I mean, I feel like he would, though. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem for Hoopless, because he's bouncing all the time. All that bouncing is going to make all of that shit drop to the bottom of your colon.
Absolutely. Yeah. So maybe his name is Hoopless. You ever hear
there was a, what is it? This was like years and not even just years ago. On a podcast, I heard that some famous inventor, it could have been Tesla, it could have been anyone, but there was a friend of his who was like, I'm butchering this story. I'm so sorry, listeners, but I found it amusing because one of his friends was constipated. And so the way he helped him relieve his bowels was he basically had him stand on like this metal plate, which he rigged up something underneath it to vibrate incredibly fast. I think it was Tesla that did this too. I'm 90% certain, but I'd have to go back and find the one random podcast episode of the show, which is now actually also behind a paywall, so I can't even find it anymore. But anyway, Rebound the robot goes haywire again, but now he's not just a tiny robot, he's a giant robot, and he's going loose on, he's running rampant on the town. And of course, they, even though it's their goal to stop him now, it's barely shown at all again, because they only have like 10 minutes to do all this. And like, we're only 4 minutes into this episode, and there's just so much that has happened already.
Yeah, so many things, so many actions, so many visuals to describe, all these things to take in. I'm surprised my brain hasn't overloaded. I felt a little bit like I was on drugs of some kind.
You felt that maybe you were Hoopless in trying to understand everything.
Hoopless and Poopless.
Hoopless and Poopless. The Captain N story.
This is written by Matt Uwitz.
Hoopless and Poopless, written by Matt Uwitz. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so Kevin tries to stop him with his blaster, and Hoopless is like, no, he's my friend. And Kevin's like, he's your friend. And they decide that the only way to stop him is they have to climb Hoop Mountain to make the wish themselves in person. And
it's supposed to be impossible, or else everybody would be doing it. Like, they have to make up this line to, they're like, that's impossible because, you know, anybody could do that. That's why we wait for Hoop-de-doo-dah day to do it.
Yeah, because the hoop comes down from the mountain for people to make wishes. But if you want to risk it, you can go all the way up to the top of the mountain.
Right.
Hoop-de-doo-dah day. I still can't fucking believe it. I'm even looking in the background. Like, all the buildings have basketballs on their roofs.
They do. They do. And Kevin's power pad is still incorrect. So that must have been changed on purpose for some reason.
I can't imagine it. Like, why?
I don't know if it was a Nintendo thing, like this is too much of a Nintendo commercial or what.
maybe. I mean, have you noticed that the end on his chest, on his shirt, is now solid black? Wasn't it like a white with a black outline?
Yeah, it definitely had an outline. It was either white with a black outline or black with a white outline.
I thought so. So they go to the Mount Hoop, whatever the fuck. I don't even remember the name of it. It's Hoop Mountain. I'm sorry. It's called Hoop Mountain. And they have to, you know, finish the trials, you know, complete the trials set forth to them by the evil scoreboard. It's like this evil clock, which we have not met yet, but we will in just a moment. The first trial is that there is a basket. And I quote, what did he say? Hold on. We have to sink a ball through that hoop. That canyon must be 40 feet across. I did some research, Dexter.
All right.
An NBA court is 50 feet across, 50 feet wide. So most people arguably making like 3-point shots are making it from 25 feet out, bare minimum. So 50, like 40 feet is less than half court. And I'm not saying like it's not a hard shot to do and everything, but like you're telling me Larry Bird couldn't fucking make that basket?
So wait, half of a court is 50 feet? Is that what you said?
I completely fucked that up. A court is 50 feet wide and it is 94 feet long.
Okay.
Half of that is over 46. 46 feet would be half court. So it's less than six. It's 6 feet. It's less than half court that he would have to shoot from.
That's cool. That's crazy. Because Joe Schmo's off the street. You know, they do that for in between quarters in basketball games. Come on, sink a half court shot.
And yep.
Even lucky people do that pretty regularly.
And I'm like, Larry, you're telling me Larry Bird, that he defers to Kevin on this? And Kevin goes to shoot the ball at this 40-foot shot, doesn't make it. Larry Bird fucking whips a ball one-handed into Kevin's ball mid-air, hits it, and it bounces it into the hoop. And I'm like, why did you waste one of your only – like, why did you waste that? You literally could have just taken the shot, himself. Larry. Like, there.
That was way more difficult than it needed to be.
Why not 40 feet? Like, if he said 40 yards, I'd be like, okay, that's 120 feet. That makes sense. That's a long fucking distance. That's like over a basketball court. Right. But 40 feet is less than half. And I'm not saying I could make that shot, mind you. I'm not good at it. But like, you're telling me a Larry Bird couldn't fucking make that shot under no pressure?
That is pretty wild. I do like how he sidearm whips that ball, though, and perfectly deflects it.
And that's the thing, too. If he can fucking hit another basketball midair and deflect it into the hoop, just fucking shoot it yourself. And he did it one-armed.
Maybe he's trying to help Kevin feel better about himself.
I would feel worse. Like, he just fucking one arms it.
Yeah.
I don't get it, dude. It's so dumb. So they get the basket. It opens up a portal, which honestly, I think the visuals of this episode are really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
In general, they're all over the place and inconsistent, but they're really fun. Then this portal opens up and a bridge comes out. It has like hoops all lining the bridge that's coming up with. So it looks kind of cool. They show up in like this weird space ship looking place. It's not a spaceship, but it's got walls that look like one. Then all of a sudden the home and visitor scoreboard with the clock on it comes to life.
Clockman
and voiced by, like you said, like you shouted him out earlier, Long John Baldry.
Robotnik himself.
Oh wait, hold on. Sorry. You know, listeners, we play through the episodes as we go along with recording, so that way we can have like visual aid for ourselves. I'm looking at it's around 6 minutes and like 50 something seconds. I'm gonna have to like get it again. I'm gonna try to find it real quick here, but Lana tosses Larry Bird a basketball, 6 minutes and 51 seconds. The ball is larger than his chest. It is.
Whoa, holy smokes. Yeah, that thing's huge. It's like a beach ball.
It's bigger than his head. It's so bizarre. It's so funny, too, when Lana throws it to him. If you go frame by frame, the basketball grows very rapidly.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it just kind of grows, and Larry's hand is still tiny. It's so goofy. The whole thing is so goofy. So basically, there's a whole bunch of different challenges. In this first challenge, he summons hoop bats that are like in the shape of rings, and they literally are like, their body is a ring, but there is still a bat head and wings on the side of it. They shoop. I'm gonna keep that in. Fuck that. The shoop to hoop. They shoot rings at them. Kevin tries to kill them, but when he kills one, it spawns two of them. The one spawns two, so he stops killing them there. And it's just all the people participating trying to make the basket, but they keep getting bound up by these metal rings, and they almost don't make it, except for Duke nudges, literally seconds to, because they're under a time limit. Duke just casually nudges it to Larry Bird, and he once again fucking one arms a shot
over his shoulder behind him.
Why does this man even, I still can't get over the fact that he deferred to Kevin on that first shot. There's no fucking reason for it. But we get to the next trial, which, Dexter, I want to throw it over to you. This is, you know, this is the one with the weird looking ass fish. So explain this next trial to the listeners.
Okay, so after making that second shot, there's absolutely no fanfare. Like, oh wow, that was close. No, Mr. Clockman being like, no, I can't believe you did it. Just nope. We're just gonna change scenes. We're gonna go to the next challenge. They appear through the floor on the court, there's a giant fish with spikes that comes out, and it's spitting holes, but it looks like liquid. So it's so hard to describe.
It's a very weird visual.
Yeah, like I've seen cartoons where there are physical holes, as like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, there's a gag where someone picks up like a prop hole and they slap it on a wall, kind of thing. Like, that's what you would expect. But this is much like thicker goop that splats.
Yeah.
So it still looks like a liquid when it lands, but Duke falls through it, and then, okay, bye, Duke. Like, he disappears. Hoopless almost falls in. Kevin has to save him. But there's all of these, you know, this fish is spreading all these holes across the court that they have to avoid until Larry Bird finally dunks it. The fish goes away. All the holes go away. But they can still hear Duke whining, like, like Poltergeist style. Like, you just hear him whining in the background. And they're like, it's okay, boy. We'll be back to save you. It just,
like, how? You don't know where he is.
Yeah, it just felt very dark and ominous for a kid's cartoon. Like, I felt really bad for Duke in that situation. And then they appear in this is the last challenge, I believe, where they have to choose the correct hoop. There's two hoops. And
this was the
dumbest plan. Like, I know the first one is very dumb. Of why didn't Larry Bird just make the perfect shot, since that's what he does. But for some reason, he's like, I'll go first, and like rushes ahead and picks one, because only one of them will take it. And it's like, no, you're the MVP. You're the best shot we've got at doing this. And he's like, I sacrifice myself. It runs ahead and of course picks the wrong one.
That seems to be a trend in this, because Kevin does something similar in the next challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, because then the end team's able to take the correct hoop.
And actually, real quick, when you mentioned that Duke disappeared, when I was watching it with my kid earlier today, she was terrified. Or I shouldn't say terrified. She actually wasn't that scared, but she went, where did the doggy go?
Yeah, see, like, that was kind of a dark thing for the dark direction for them to go in.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. And yeah, like you said, the choice that Larry Bird makes is fucking stupid. Let's sacrifice our one good player. Like, why not just send fucking, like, the Hoopless or Lana, right.
Yeah.
Or one of the other people who can't make a basket, because none of them have made a basket yet. And if you're going with the theme of this episode where, spoiler alert, Lana makes the final basket, then have Kevin go, or Hoopless, either one of them. You didn't need Larry Bird to sacrifice himself and get caught in, because it's such a weird thing. Like, I don't even feel like the evil scoreboard or whatever his face is actually explains it all that well. They're given two portal options, and if they choose wrong, they're captured, and if they choose right, they move on. So the smart thing, of course, is to sacrifice one person and see if it and it, what it was. So Larry Bird puts himself in there. He gets trapped. Kevin, Lana, and Hoopless go to the next one, and something similar happens again. They only have a short time limit. Kevin fucking hurls the basketball at the basket. It has like a barrier, and he keeps on running towards it though, and he just gets trapped inside the barrier for no fucking reason. Like he had more than enough time to stop.
And yeah, it was not explained well either, because when she takes the shot, I was like, they haven't done anything to remove the barrier. But I guess she, like, rainbow shot it really high, I'm guessing, is what was supposed to be happening there. She did, like, a really high arc to get it over the barrier.
That's the only thing I can think of. But if it landed in the hoop, it would have hit Kevin inside the barrier. And yeah. There's no ball in there.
Nope. Yeah, no clue.
But that frees everyone. She's able to make her wish, which, of course, excuse me. Everyone was like, I understand if you want to wish your father back. She's like, yeah, but he wouldn't want me to do that in this situation. So she wishes Rebound back to normal. And Hoopless basically apologizes, but Larry Bird's like, it's not, you shouldn't apologize, Hoopless. It should be the people of Hoop World, Hoopland apologizing to you. He's like, and he goes, that's mighty big of you, Mr. Boyd.
This is my villain origin story.
This is where I get started. His voice was so goofy. I loved it though.
Yeah.
And that's how the episode ends.
Yep.
There were so many moments. Listeners, you have to listen to this. You have to watch this episode, both of these, but specifically, in my opinion, I'm just going to say it now. Pursuit of the Magic Hoop was my favorite one.
Out of the two, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. There was a lot more going on. There was a lot more to look at. There was a lot more to try to make sense out of. It made more sense. It was more consistent with the previous seasons. It felt a little more video gamey. Maybe I'm giving it too much credit, but I felt like it was more video gamey. Especially in ascending the Hoop Mountain, felt a lot more video gamey than just going through the story of Robin Hood. I will say, after watching these episodes back to back and discussing this with you, I now feel like I've got another suggestion that Kingdom Hearts got their idea from this, as far as this felt very much like when you go to a different world in Kingdom Hearts and you team up with the hero there. Like, they went to Sherwood Forest and teamed up with Robin Hood. They went to Hoopland and teamed up with Larry Bird.
I mean, but that's not new to Captain N. You know, the second episode, they go to Bayou Land and team up with Bayou Billy.
Right. So, you know, just reinforcing the whole Kingdom Hearts. We did it first here with Captain N.
I mean, it's the hero or villain of the week. I feel like TV shows have been doing it for a while. But okay, no, I'm sorry. We got to stick to our narrative. Yes,
yeah, Captain N did it first. That's right. I'll also say I've got my player paused on 10 minutes and 37 seconds. You'll notice that they changed, because they play the intro for the credits, or at least half of it, and then it cuts to the Super Mario World credits as well. But at 10 minutes and 37 seconds, the end team flashes up on the screen, but it's the new character design versions. So if you are curious as to how Mega Man and Simon look now, you can get a little preview there and little end credits at 10 minutes and 37 seconds.
Oh, you have to, like, you really have to, like, thumb through it. Like, they're on that screen for less than a half a second.
Yeah, it goes by fast.
Simon looks wild. His face is as big as two people's heads.
And he doesn't have the goggles on, at least in this shot.
No. Yeah, overall, though, I would say I'm with you. I've enjoyed these first two so far. I think just because they're just batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Both of them. They're just insane. They're wild. I love how big they're swinging. How much of a swing they are going for with this. Like, they really are trying something weird with this. And it's one of those things where, you know, Jordan versus Bird doesn't have like any world building to it. So they literally had to fabricate an entire fake universe for this Jordan versus Bird game, or in this instance, just Larry Bird, because apparently Michael Jordan's not fucking important enough to include in this. Or maybe they couldn't get his likeness rights. I wouldn't be surprised about that.
He was holding out for the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, right. He's like, gotta wait for Space Jam. This isn't Space Jam. And it's a decent one, though. I don't know. Season three, I watched both of these, and I remember texting you. I watched them for the first time like a week ago. I'm like, dude, these first two are just off the wall. I was so surprised with just how consistently chaotic. It was just chaos. That's chaos incarnate. That's what these episodes are.
I think following the first two seasons enhances that, too, because it took a little bit for me to get used to the same voices coming out of different designs.
Yeah, 100%. Though I like you said at the beginning, I do enjoy some of these new character designs. Not all of them, but I do enjoy the new character designs overall. It's kind of a little bit more cartoony and less realistic, which, you know, the first ones weren't really realistic at all, but these feel even more caricature-ish than the first two seasons.
I would compare the first two seasons to having more of a comic book feel, whereas this season feels a lot more like standard animation, where there's a lot more line economy, so that it's easier to animate, which unfortunately, even with the line economy making it easier to animate, it still doesn't animate as well as the first two seasons.
It's definitely cheaply made. I mean, they only made seven of these things.
Yeah.
And we're covering two at a time for each one. This might not even be, I know I'm supposed to call these minis, and I think I still have to if I want to keep my pace for where I want episode 300 of the show to be. But, well, I don't know. The listeners, these minis are going to be long for quite some time, so just deal with it.
Yeah, bear with us.
Anyway, that will do it. Let's wrap this one up, Dex. We've been going on for an hour-ish or so on some of the zaniest Captain Ends I've ever seen or witnessed. I can't wait for next month, though, dude. It's going to be Return to Castlevania and Totally Tetrisized are the two episodes.
Yes. So if our listeners remember, we already had the Tetris episode, and I had mentioned that I was freaked out by the Tetris episode. And the Tetris episode that we watched, I didn't see what freaked me out, and I just assumed that my childhood brain fabricated it. I'm pretty sure it must have been this Tetris episode coming up that wigged me out as a kid. So be prepared. That's your tease for the next episode.
I'm nervous and excited all at the same time. But all right, well, let's wrap up this episode, Dex. Thank you once again for joining me, my friend. Always a pleasure to talk some Captain N with you. And as usual, where can the good people find you online? And is there anything you would like to promote?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky now. I was able to get on there thanks to you, Josh. It's all of it's my name, Dexter Morrill, DexterMorrill. I've been bad about sharing stuff lately, but I'm usually sharing my artwork, my students' artwork, video game history stuff, all kinds of fun things like that. I am still working on the season 2 shirt. I started doing some inking on that this weekend, so be prepared. I'll try to share some more work in progress stuff to keep you guys excited for that.
All right. And as usual for myself, you can follow me on social media at Still Loading Pod on pretty much everywhere except for YouTube is at Still Loading Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Hive, Threads, all that stuff, Twitch. But yeah, if you want to support the show, you can give it a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And, you know, I like feeling warm and fuzzy. If you want to support the show monetarily for a few bucks, you get some extra content thrown your way over at patreon.com/stillloadingpod. For $1 a month, you just get all the episodes earlier with better audio quality plus patron voting rights for quarterly polls. At $4 a month, you get 2 mini bonus episodes every month plus everything at the $1 tier, and for $5 a month, a measly $5 every month, you can get everything I mentioned before plus access to Still Bonding, which is my monthly James Bond podcast. Each of those episodes are 2.5 to 3.5 hours long, so there is a lot of content for you for your hard-earned money at each of those levels. So please consider checking that out, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. But of course, I want to shout out my friends over at the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that is all the time I have for you. That's all the time we have for you for this episode of Still Loading, for this Captain Ennisode, if you will. Dexter, thank you once again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And we will think of you the next time we play video games. We'll be right back.